It's your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC for 20 great years has the best OTR on our live streaming. And continue tuning in to the Radio Book Channel, along with the RTC Music Channel, all at oldtimeradiolisten.com.
Welcome to this week's podcast. We have a couple of positively frightening shows for you and one comedy. We'll save the comedy for last and start off with this very scary episode of Lights Out Everyone. From 1943, this is The Fast One.
Arch Oblers, lights out everybody. We bring you stories of the supernatural and the supernormal, dramatizing the fantasies and the mysteries of the unknown. We tell you this frankly so that if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these imaginative plays, we urge you calmly but sincerely to turn off your radio now. Who among us, and you're included, has not had the dream at one time or another of being superior to his or her fellow beings? To jump higher, to run faster, to dance better, to be more beautiful. We've all run the gamut, all of us, at various ages, of standing out from the crowd of humanity. That's what our story is about today, being different in a very special manner. And now, if you haven't already done so, turn off your lights now.
But my dear Mr. Finn, $5,000.
$5,000. $5,000. What do you think you're doing, bidding at an auction sale?
I am bidding for your services. And if a $5,000 retainer isn't enough, why, name your own price. I'm not here as an individual. I'm the representative of a group of casualty insurance companies who handle practically all of the burglary insurance in this entire area.
Well, if you're that important, talk important money. $10,000 cash.
Very well, I'll write you a check.
Fenn Detective Agency. F-E-N-N.
Yes.
$500,000 stolen in broad daylight and no witnesses. A very clever criminal, whoever he is.
But surely you don't believe only one man has committed all these crimes.
Whenever there is greatness, even in crime, the answer is a man. One man.
25 places robbed both sides of State Street. 25 stores robbed in the space of 30 minutes, and you talk of one man?
He's very clever.
No one man could rob 25 places, spreading over a distance of 3 blocks in the space of 30 minutes.
No?
Of course not. Banks and department stores and loan companies. Cash registers cleaned out. And not a clue, not a witness. The devil alone knows what this is all about.
The devil alone.
City morgue. Oh, hello, Chief. Yeah, he's been here 2 days in a row. Yeah, all he looks at is the bodies of the hit and run. Hey, listen, Chief. Here he comes now. Yeah. Okay, I'll try to find out. Yeah. Hiya, Mr. Finn. Early today, ain't you?
Quickly, show me the new ones.
Yeah, sure. Why not? The same kind?
Yes.
Okay. This one's name is, it's on the tag here, Morrison something. Relatives ain't claimed him yet. Look at him. Smashed up pretty, ain't he?
He never knew what struck him.
I'll say he didn't. The way that skull... Well, I bet you he went out just like that.
I'm no longer interested in this one. Where's the next?
Coming up. Wait till I put this fella back on ice. Let me see. Where'd I put the dame? Oh, yeah, here she is. Kid. Whoever the rat was, his hair must have bust the front end of his crate. Look at her. Ain't much of her left to tell who she was, is there? Only identification on her was her first name in a book. Let me see, Libby. Yeah, that's what it was, Libby. Gosh, if this was my girlfriend and any hit-and-run rat did this, I'd find him even if I... Hey, Mr. Finn, what's the matter? What are you laughing about? It ain't funny. The girl's face, it smashed her. What are you laughing about?
I know. Now I know.
You. Hey, you. Hold on there. I want to talk to you.
Are you talking to me, copper?
Oh, wise guy, huh? Listen, you, what's the idea of cross-examining everybody in this neighborhood?
Now, just a minute before you start using that nightstick, you better have a look at this.
Why? Oh, you're a private detective.
Oh, brilliant.
Well, now, how was I supposed to know that...
Well, you know it now. Tell me this. What do you know about the hit-and-run cases in this district?
Oh, that's bad, sir. But what can I do? Drunken rats driving without lights and giving no warning. We'll get them tonight, sir. Believe me, we will.
What do you mean?
There's going to be 10 squad cars touring this district.
Just a moment. One question. Have you been hearing any peculiar noises on your beat? Noises like an airplane motor when there wasn't anything in the sky?
Go on now. You're kidding me. Say, look at the time. I better get moving on me beat or the sergeant will be shooting his mouth up. Anything else I could tell you?
Yes. This restaurant we're in front of, is it a good place to eat?
Yeah. Bill Lewis's place is okay. He's off in Washington, but his wife's running it. Nothing like the Ritz, but it's okay. Well, I'll be seeing you.
You're mistaken.
What'll you have, sir? Nice dinner?
Coffee.
Piece of nice fresh pie. Apple, peach, cherry.
Apple.
Yes, sir, right away.
I beg your pardon.
Where did you come from?
I followed you in. I wish to speak with you.
I don't want to buy anything.
I am not selling. Just like you, I am asking questions.
Eh?
I have been watching you. All afternoon, you have been asking many questions.
What's that here?
I am a Bellini, Dr. Bellini. I live in this neighborhood. I am interested in whatever goes on in it.
Ah, glad to meet you, Doctor. Maybe you can tell me. Have you heard any unusual noises during the late afternoon and evening hours? A noise you couldn't quite locate or explain?
Noises? What noises? You are a detective.
Why do you ask that?
As a physician, I pride myself on my powers of observation. You are a detective, eh, my friend?
Yes.
Then come with me. Do not raise your voice now. This gun in my pocket will kill you. Walk slowly toward the door. Make no noise. Now, open the door and step outside. I advise discretion. I will be close behind you. Now, walk beside me down the street. A gun in your side and you laugh? Why do you laugh? Tell me.
I've been looking for you, Dr. Bellini.
Yeah? Why?
I must know your secret. I must.
Very well. But there is a price to pay.
Price? What is your price?
Death. So, now we will not be disturbed, Mr.
Finn. Mark Finn.
Mark Finn. The man who is willing to die to learn my secret.
I'll take my chances. Just tell me, how did you do it?
But first I will ask you questions. You are either a very clever man, Mr. Fenn, or a very lucky one. How did you suspect it was only one man?
I knew. It had to be one man.
But how did you correlate the missing money and the dead in the streets?
30 minutes to collect $500,000 and cover 25 stores. I knew you'd have to move fast. I figured someone would get hurt.
You are very clever.
You did do it, didn't you?
Come, I will show you. You will be the first to know. And the last. Here. Sit here.
Yes, yes.
Now... What do you see in my hand, Mark Fenn?
A bottle. It's full of oil.
Not oil, you blind fool. Power, the key to the world. Listen to me, Mark Fenn. One drop of this and the world is mine. You believe, Mark Fenn? You believe what I tell you?
But what does that stuff do? You've got to tell me.
Speed.
That's what it gives speed. Faster, faster, faster. Every atom in me faster. You do believe, my friend. You've got to believe.
But what? I don't understand it. What does that stuff do to me?
Oh, you fool. Why don't you listen?
But
speed. That's what it gives me, speed. Every physical process, every mental activity, it speeds them up 10, 20 times the normal rate. Faster, faster. Every molecule. Listen. The average man walks 3 miles an hour. One drop of this, and I walk 60 miles an hour. Now you know my secret. A chemical which speeds up my activities until I am a god among men. A drop of this, one drop, and I walk and I run and I talk and I think 20 times faster than any other man in the world.
Oh, no, that can't be.
No? Then watch. I drink.
Doctor Bellini. Where are you, Doctor? Where are you? Bellini. Bellini, what are you talking about? What are you saying? I don't understand. Stop it, I say. Bellini. You went away. Where? What happened to you? Why do you talk like that?
I told you all physical, mental processes speed up. Wait a second. Chemical effect will wear off completely.
That stuff, it makes you talk fast, is that it?
There. Effect is worn off. I'm back to normal rate again.
Where did you go? Where?
To prove to you that what I say is true. Look what I have in my hand.
Diamonds. Diamond necklace. Where did you...
From the window of that jewelry store 3 blocks away.
You were there and back in these few seconds?
20 times faster than any man can run, I ran in those few seconds. 20 times faster than any man can think, I thought in those few seconds. Now, do you believe, Mark?
It was you moving at 100 miles an hour that knocked down those people and killed them. It was you moving so fast, they were not hurt. Though they were hurt, but not you.
Yes, it was I.
It was you moving so fast they couldn't see you who took that $500,000 in cash from those stores.
Yes, I.
Me too.
You?
Yes, me. All my life I wanted. Bellini, the power you've got now, Bellini, I want it too.
But why? Why should I share it with you?
Because I can help you. Yes, that's it. I can help you. There's so much to do. You can rule the world, but you cannot conquer it alone. You'll need help, and I'll need help. You hear me, Bellini? I'll help you. I'll do anything you say, but you must let me join you. With the dream of all my life coming true. Power like God. Let me join you, Bellini. Let me.
Yes, I need a man like you. Together we will help the world.
And I say to you that this great and unprecedented crime wave which is sweeping our city is due entirely to the unholy alliance of crime and politics. Sweep the culprits out of office. And I tell you that our city will be a
Mr. Mayor, I'm doing everything I can do. I've sworn in 1,000 extra deputies. I've got the force where it took us.
And I tell you, fellow citizens, this alliance of the underworld and their masters can never be broken until we, the people, take matters into our own hands. Like the vigilantes of old, we must rise in our wrath and drive these vampires out of our fair city. Merry Christmas! Hurrah!
Destroy these vampires.
A revolutionist plot.
Unholy alliance of crime and politics. Oh, we have done well. are in these 10 days, eh, Mark Fenn?
Oh, I say we have it. $10 million. Nobody in the world ever collected money that fast.
It was good letting you join me.
I told you.
All the places where money is, you know.
But it's not money alone we want, Bellini.
Oh, I know, I know. We have been just, how do you say it, testing our wings.
And now we're ready to go.
Yes. New concentrate of my chemical is ready. Today we have taken the city, tomorrow the world.
The world.
But now, while the city we have left behind us boils in the madness we have brought to it, you and I, we will rest, eh, Fenn?
You'll laugh again.
Why?
I was thinking of the fun I had this morning.
Oh, you mean when we liquidated your enemies?
Dead. Every mother's son of them. Everyone that ever laughed at
me. Yes, dead, every one of them. And you go on to new triumphs.
They never knew what hit them. That's the only trouble with moving so fast, Bellini.
You mean when you struck them at 50 times the normal rate?
Yes, it was like hitting them with a 6-inch shell. Their skulls smashed in like empty eggs.
And you are disappointed because your revenge was over too quickly, eh, Mark Fenn?
Yes.
What if I were to tell you that my new concentrate, the one we will use tomorrow when we arrive at the seat of your government in Washington, what if I were to tell you that this new concentrate is infinitely more powerful than the one we have been using?
More powerful? How can that be?
Listen, the one we have been using increases the physical and mental rate 20 times, is that not so?
Yes, talk, walk, run, and think 50 times faster.
So there you have it. With the new concentrate, talk, walk, think, and run an infinite number of times faster than all.
You mean there's no limit?
No limit.
We'll move faster?
As fast as we like.
Say.
200, 300, 500, the limit will be our desires. A blur of light, here, there, the next place. Masters of men. Because compared to us, men are snails who crawl while we run.
Masters of men.
Look, I brought the bottle. The new concentrate.
It looks the same.
Yes. Shall we try some, Mark Fenn?
I don't know.
We must try it sometime.
Yes.
It is the same basic formula as the other.
Sure.
I do not ask you to do what I will not do myself. We will take equal amounts and compare reactions.
How much will it?
Two drops each. I have two medicine droppers ready.
Yes.
The moment we swallow the drops, we will move toward the... You see that barn across the field?
Yes.
We meet there and see how fast we can move. You know your drops, Mark Fenn. Surely you're not afraid, my friend.
Afraid? Me? Well, no, of course not. Give me those drops.
We drink together.
Yes.
Mark Fenn.
What?
Mark Fenn.
Bellini. What? What happened?
I am not quite sure.
The barn. We're lying by the barn.
We did get here. Mark Fenn, your clothes.
My clothes? Well, I'm naked.
I too. Mark Fenn, listen. We moved so quickly through the air, our clothes were torn off.
Yes.
The new concentrate, infinitely more powerful. We moved through the air at a tremendous rate, hundreds of miles.
Lenny.
What?
Your lips, they're not moving, and yet I hear you.
Your lips, they do not move either. And yet I hear you, too. That cannot be.
What is it, Bellini?
Our reactions. The concentrate has speeded them up so intensely, we read each other's thoughts. No, no, do not move.
Why not?
The concentrate, it was too powerful. We must lie quietly until its effects wear off.
Yes, but... Bellini.
Fenn. Why are you looking at me like that?
Your face.
My face?
Something's happening to it.
What? Speak up. What is wrong with my face? What? Yours.
What?
Your face. Creases in it. Lines.
And yours. That's what's happening to yours. Bellini. I feel... Bellini. What's happening? Tell me.
Age. That is it. Age.
Age?
Age.
What?
We are aging. We are aging.
Aging? What are you talking about?
Concentrate. Our physical reactions, they have been speeded up too much.
Tell me. What's that got to do
with... Listen to me. The concentrate, it has speeded up our life processes to infinity. Every second is aging us a year. Every second.
No. No, I'm a young man, Bellini. You're lying. I'm not getting older. I'm not.
We are dying, my friend. Dying. Dying.
No, you lie, Bellini. I won't die. I won't die.
Dead. And yet the solution works on in his flesh. Decay. No, I cannot die. Master of men, I cannot die. Master of...
Arch Oler's Lights Out, a scary program, and we're going to have another one right now, The Price of Fear, starring Vincent Price. You get the trick title there. From 1975, this is An Eye for an Eye.
The Price of Fear. Brought to you by Vincent Price.
Hello. I know there are those amongst you who will consider the old adage, every picture tells a story, as debatable as it is familiar. As a lifelong art collector and enthusiast myself, I have often speculated that the story surrounding a picture, the human drama, can prove infinitely more fascinating than any story in paint. Trapped within the confines of a frame, and the tale I'm about to tell you, which I've called An Eye for an Eye, will, I'm sure, convince you of the truth of this. Recently, I went to an important sale of Impressionist paintings. The auction room just off London's fashionable St. James was packed to capacity with art speculators from the four corners of the globe.
Lot 23, Auguste Renoir, anemones, oil on canvas 38 inches by 14, an opening bid of 25,000, and 5, 30... 35. Bidding at 35 against you, sir. 40. 45. Thank you. Now standing at 45.
Renoir, Monet, Manet, Degas, Each in their turn glowed briefly down at us from the auctioneer's easel, to be knocked down with almost indecent haste and returned backstage for crating and shipping.
Lot 97, Camille.
The auctioneer's voice was tiring now. The serious business of the day was over.
Lot 98, Study of a Girl. Attributed to Pissarro, unsigned, unauthenticated. Oil on canvas, 20 inches by 12, from the estate of the Count Luigi della Santa. Opening bid invited, I think, ladies and gentlemen.
Study of a Girl. And there she was, smiling into the gloom of that near-deserted auction room. My old friend, Luigi della Santa, notorious acquisitor of yachts and palazzos and paintings and celebrities. Now here, this, his last prized acquisition, Study of a Girl. As I consulted the catalog and smiled ruefully that even in death, Luigi steadfastly insisted on his beloved title of Count, it seemed ironically appropriate that the pedigree of his beloved painting should now turn out to be as unauthenticated as his own. But how long ago it all seemed. How long. Midsummer. I'd just completed a long stint of filming in and around Naples. After the sweltering heat of those studio arcs, Luigi's invitation to spend a few days with him on his yacht, anchored off of Sorrento, would have been eagerly accepted in any event, but I remembered as the launch ferried me across the mirror smoothness of that beautiful bay that it was the prospect of at last viewing Luigi's recently acquired Pissarro that made the invitation totally irresistible.
Well, Vincenzo? You like it? Well?
Well, it's beautiful, quite beautiful.
Of course. You see, Contessa, didn't I tell you that my very good and wise friend would come and that he would like it, didn't I?
Yes, Luigi, you did.
And now, Vincenzo, you must tell me how much you like it. $5,000 worth? $10,000?
Luigi, she's exquisite.
Exquisite? Oh, she is perfection. She is the perfection of perfection. She is the perfection of perfection.
You're spilling your wine, Carol.
And yet, would you believe it, when I tell you, my friend, there are still those dilettantes, those ingrates, those whoremongers who have the gall to insult the intelligence by saying that it cannot be the work of the master.
Oh, but Luigi, the master, did not think fit to sign it.
What need for him to sign it, when every line makes a signature? I tell you, this is not a painting. It is an experience. She is alive, vibrant.
Oh, such passionate enthusiasm, Luigi. I shall begin to suspect I have acquired a rival. Vincenzo, if you will permit. It is not the wine of my country, but then it is not the wine of my choosing. The Count prefers to import. So instead of buona fortuna, permit me to wish you bon chance.
Bon chance. As she proposed the toast, the charms of Luigi's Contessa di Terra made those of the artist's model obvious, commonplace, and it was almost as though the Contessa were reading my thoughts.
But I feel sure you will forgive dear Luigi's schoolboy enthusiasm for this new acquisition, Vincenzo. As a lifelong friend, you will doubtless have witnessed many such enthusiasms.
It isn't difficult to forgive. I so wholeheartedly share it.
Ha! Bravo, my friend.
Perhaps. But between you and Luigi, the appreciation has always been different, I think.
Oh? How different?
Be warned, Vincenzo. It is not wise to encourage her.
Because watching you see the painting for the very first time, there was peace. It was not hard to tell that for you, the appreciation was for the talent it contained, for the genius. You understood what had been intended and what had been achieved.
And for me? Is it not the same for me?
Prego, Luigi, permit me to finish. You see, Vincenzo, Before Luigi permits me the time to make a point, he is so perfectly demonstrating it. It is not what the painting does inside of him that makes him so determined to possess it. It is simply because there are others who might wish to possess it even more than he does. The price is all that is important for him. He asks, how much you think it is worth? $5,000? $10,000? And when you refuse to give him the answer...
Am unable to.
See how prettily he sulks. Oh, it's not his fault, you understand. It does not make me love him less, but everything in this so beautiful life is reduced to the level of price, status, possession. Everything which is bad enough, but everyone worse.
Oh.
Much worse. But possession, life, cannot always be that simple. People, things, cannot always be caught in the net of our understanding. Just as it is not always possible to divorce the manner of our deaths from the manner of our lives.
Ah, tante dante.
Much talk makes for much hunger.
Ah, scusa, Count. La colazione è servito.
Sì, Carlos, sì. Come, my friends, we are to take luncheon on the deck. Besides, after so much play-acting in the dark, Vincenzo, it is now necessary we return the color to your cheeks.
Well, there's nothing I'd like better.
Also, and most important, Luigi has yet another treat in store for you.
Another?
Sì. To mark the private viewing of his so beautiful painting, the great Luigi, master chef of all the Italias, has himself created a unique gastronomic masterpiece. A meal worthy of a gourmet of such international repute as you.
Oh, my dear Luigi, such flattery. At this rate, the color will be returned to my cheeks much sooner than you anticipate.
We shall see, Vincenzo. We shall see.
Contessa?
We shall see.
Our lunch party looked like being a jolly affair, to begin with, anyway. The wine and the sun went straight to our heads, and the Contessa's affectionate baiting of Luigi continued good-humoredly as the first course was served. The question of Luigi's title provided her readiest target of attack. As to his true origins, well, there were many who insisted that his father could still be found running a small trattoria in that straggling, impoverished town we now viewed across the bay.
So why doesn't he admit it? Be proud to admit it. You see, it is always so. What he refuses to accept, he laughs away. Is that not so, Vincenzo?
I think I'll just concentrate on this excellent wine.
Oh, but you disappoint me. What? You tell me that you, too, are afraid to burst this ridiculous balloon.
Perhaps because Vincenzo has the good sense to realize it is not a balloon. And that it certainly is not ridiculous. It is...
What is it, Bambino? What is it?
It is an insult. It is a double insult of my lineage and breeding.
I'm sorry, Luigi.
Oh, so don't be my friend. It's good to laugh at such archaic distinction.
Vincenzo has seen the papers. Is that not true?
I have seen papers.
Papers are for the forging.
Oh.
So, has Vincenzo seen my papers? Of course he has not. And why has he not? Because he does not need to. He has only to use his eyes to realize that I am of the line just as you are of the gutter.
Then why does the Contessa dishonor her line by sitting at my table?
Oh, because even a penniless Contessa has to eat somewhere. And like his cook of a father and his cook of a grandfather before him, Count Luigi still makes the best fish soup in the whole of Italy. True, Carlo.
True, my father and his father before him made the best soup.
Caught, Carlo. Uh-huh.
The Contessa's high praise for Luigi's culinary skills were justified, certainly, whether inherited or not. After a lifetime of experience, I've come to the conclusion that there are only really two kinds of master chef. Those who have spent long years perfecting their skills, and those who have added to this a simple flair, an ability to transform the simplest meal into something near approaching a work of art.
But now, my good friends, your attention, your undivided attention, if you please. It is with the greatest pride and pleasure Luigi himself presents to you his own original creation.
Oh!
Specialité of the house. Vincenzo.
Luigi waited. As I peered into the deep serving tureen he set in front of me, I remember thinking that after the great build-up he'd given it, his specialty of the house turned out to be something of an anti-climax. The ingredients were certainly commonplace enough, served on a bed of rice, a veritable hotchpotch of, well, of all the kinds of fish native to the locality. Something I'd frequently enjoyed with a bottle of ordinary vino at any harborside trattoria.
So, you like it? But now, why don't you look even closer, my friend?
He was waiting again. So, simply to oblige him, I did look closer, and then I saw it. A large octopus sat squarely upon its bed of lobster pieces and king-sized prawns. To my best recollection, I'd never seen one cooked whole before. So perhaps this was the special touch my Italian friend had in mind. And then it happened. The creature's great saucer eyes opened and gazed balefully into mine. My God, it was alive.
Now he sees. So, how do you like my little beauty?
I'm not sure.
But I have created a new delicacy.
A live delicacy?
Alive, Vincenzo.
Between us, we will set a new gastronomic trend, you will see. Oh, purists like the Contessa may at first condemn it. A return to marine cannibalism, perhaps, eh? But I tell you, Vincenzo, and you will agree for yourself, that in the gastronomic stakes, a live lobster boat screaming to the boil will prove strictly for the peasant. Now, please. Well, taste it.
I'm sorry. At first I just thought it was some kind of a joke.
A joke?
Well, as a matter of fact, I'm still not sure if you... But it isn't, is it?
No.
I'm sorry, Luigi.
You object?
Well, simply, let's say, decline.
But why...
I can't explain.
Try. For Luigi's sake, why don't you try?
Well, even for Luigi's sake... Well, I'm just not sure I can. It's something to do with the very aliveness of the thing, of course, but more than that, it's the eyes. A sort of watchfulness in the eyes.
You disappoint me, my friend. You know that? You disappoint me.
I'm sorry.
You object. But you cannot even begin to explain why you object.
Luigi, please. Vincenzo is your guest.
For which I'm sorry. Because not only does he show a singular lack of adventure, but because he stupidly finds the dish somehow objectionable on humanitarian grounds. True or not true?
True.
But why? The oysters you love, are they not live? A well-known scientific fact. All sea creatures are impervious to pain. Any 10-year-old angler will tell you, my friend, they have no brain, no mind, no nervous system, let alone the so-called finer feelings which you and the Contessa would seem to attribute to them. Apart from which, the pathetic specimen you see before you is itself possessed of those same cannibal instincts which you now accuse me of possessing.
I accuse you of nothing, Luigi.
Owl is sucking into the disgusting chasm of its stomach a million tiny sea creatures. To first digest, and then spew out the remains, which are neither palatable or necessary to its uniquely selfish existence.
Except that you have overlooked one thing, Luigi.
Huh?
We have no way of knowing. In spite of the sworn word of any 10-year-old angler, we have no way of really knowing whether the creature we see squirming in front of us is capable of feeling or not.
Knowing, my dear Concessa, what is there to know?
Everything. Anything. Simply because, perhaps, it chooses to reveal nothing. We shall never know. Not unless it were possible for one of us to take its place. At this very moment, to be on the receiving end.
Permit me to produce the evidence.
With a single deft circular movement of his knife, Luigi removed one of those enormous eyes. The creature attempted vaguely to scale the deep sides of the dish, but at last, realizing there could be no escape, floundered back, stonily regarding Luigi with its one remaining eye. The mucus from its socket mingled now with the rich Madeira of the sauce that had replaced its natural element. Luigi regarded it dispassionately, then flicked the eye on the heavy silver of his embossed plate. That evening, over after-dinner brandies, my squeamishness turned to embarrassment. An apology seemed in order, and I was happy to provide it.
But, my dear Vincenzo, there is nothing to be forgiven. Unless it is the weather. More brandy.
Oh, thank you.
I had planned on taking the launch to show you a few of the night spots across the bay, but I'm afraid until the storm decides to blow itself out...
Think no more of it. I'm really perfectly happy.
Which is a good deal more than can be said for the Contessa, I think. Isn't that so, Caro?
Oh, if you say so, Luigi, then I suppose it must be.
But you've hardly said a word since lunch.
Haven't I?
You know you haven't.
Oh, then I can only blame the storm. Unless it is that it's late and I'm tired. I really would like to retire for the night.
Oh, but of course.
So soon, Contessa. The night is young.
No, dear Luigi. The night is never young. It is the same age at its birth as at its death. It is we who must inhabit the bright lights of day. We grow old. As old as we are allowed to grow. Good night.
Good night, Countess.
A cigar, perhaps.
Hmm? Oh, I'm sorry, Luigi. I wasn't...
Now you're doing it again, my friend. Apologizing for one thing and overreacting for another.
Am I?
Yes, you are overreacting to my Contessa. But then you have been all day.
Well, then I... Well, I certainly didn't intend to.
But found it impossible not to.
Well, it is late, Luigi.
You see, my friend, the effect she has on us is infectious.
Oh, please. I only meant it's been rather a long day. But if you'd rather...
No, I insist. Whatever our mysterious lady claims to the contrary, tomorrow is another day. We shall welcome it together.
Well, good night, Luigi. By the way, it's macabre of me, I know... But what did happen?
You want to know what happened to our one-eyed sea monster?
Yes.
Thrown overboard with the rest of the garbage? Oh, not out of any finer sense of returning it to its own. I do assure you, its remains will attract the other sea creatures. The cycle of cannibalism perpetuates itself. Besides, it makes for excellent fishing. If you promise to get up before noon, I'll get one of the crew to fix us up with a couple of lines.
Good night. lay in my cabin listening to the storm. It was strange how deeply Luigi's mood of the evening had disturbed me. The extrovert, arrogant Luigi. And then it had been a long day, so sleep now. Gently, gratefully, into sleep. Sleep.
Isabella? Isabella, mon amore. Is that you? Oh, Isabella, don't lose me. No, please don't, Isabella.
Oh, my God. No. No. Ah!
It was the steward, Carlos, who found him. But having seen what he had seen, he would not again venture into the cabin. Straddled grotesquely across the bed, in a splatter of torn flesh and blood, was the thing that had been Luigi. There were the marks of giant tentacles about the doll-snapped head. The tongue rolled gigantic from between those swollen purple lips. But overall, there was the unmistakable evidence that the whole head had been somehow inexplicably pulped outwards, as though it had first been sucked in under some enormous, unnatural pressure, fed upon, and the remains spewed out again onto the fine linen of those monogrammed pillows. But not all spewed back, not all totally discarded. For when I could bring myself to look at the thing again, there was no mistaking the fact. Only one of Luigi's eyes stared back at me. The other socket lay seeping, empty. The Contessa was standing at my side.
How do we know they have no feeling? How do we know they are not capable of understanding and of revolt? And if revolt, why not revenge? A revenge to be fearfully enacted by others of their own kind. Larger, stronger, more terrifying than anything we dare imagine. There is no evidence such monsters do exist. But is there any proof that they do not?
I looked away from that single cyclops eye, and leading from what remained a trail of slime, much like the slime of some enormous slug, I followed its course. It climbed the French brocade wallpaper, shattered the high chromium finish of the porthole, crossed the deep teak polish of the deck beyond, and from thence it slimed down the hull. The spume of it still floated out there, oil-like, on the calm waters of that beautiful Italian bay. Then it descended eternally into the dark depths that lay beneath.
That was Vincent Price bringing you The Price of Fear with Roger Snowden, Anne Jemison, and Christopher Bidmead. An Eye for an Eye was first recounted and dramatized by William Ingram and produced by John Dias.
That's too bad. As I recall, the end of that program features a scream at just about the point where the music faded out, but you'll just have to take my word for that. Well, as is our custom, we are going to wrap our podcast for this week up with a comedy, and this one is The Harold Perry Show.
The Harold Perry Show. Now, Harold Perry as Honest Harold the Homemaker. Well, let's look in on the little town of Melrose Springs this crisp December evening. Honest Harold, like the rest of us, is in that pleasantly dazed holiday condition. He is just recovering from Christmas in time to build up his strength for New Year's. Right now, he's bidding goodnight to his new romance, the lovely Theodora.
Oh, this has been a wonderful week, Haroldy Waroldy.
Sure has, Theodora. I've seen you every night.
I just love the holiday season, don't you?
Yeah. I'll never forget Christmas Eve when I gave you that wristwatch. You threw yourself in my arms and kissed me. Remember?
Do I?
Let's try that again, shall we?
But, Harold, how could we ever recapture that special moment? Christmas, the wristwatch.
Well, you sing Jingle Bells and I'll start ticking.
Oh, Harold.
Oh, well, I guess I can wait. Tomorrow night's New Year's Eve. And you know what happens at 12 o'clock? Auld Lang Syne is kissing time.
Harold.
Yeah?
You haven't told me where we're going New Year's Eve.
I want to wait and surprise you. I won't tell you till tomorrow.
All right, teddy bear.
Theodora.
Yes.
How about a little kiss?
Now, Harold, you'll have to wait till New Year's Eve.
Oh. Isn't it strange, Theodora? New Year's Eve comes at different times all over the world. Why, right now, probably it's New Year's Eve in Honolulu.
It is?
Yeah. Pucker up, Theodora.
Harold.
Yakahula hickey doola. Doola.
Harold, you're not eating your breakfast.
Huh? Well, Mother, I was just thinking about New Year's Eve party tonight and what a good time Theodora and I are going to have.
Oh, I think it's nice the way you and your old friends get together and have a party every New Year's Eve.
Yeah, they can have their big city swanky affairs. I bet we have a lot more fun right here in Melrose Springs at our New Year's barn dance.
Yes, we love the dear hearts and gentle people that live in our hometown.
That's right, Mother. We may have cider instead of champagne and play corny games like pin the tail on the donkey, but it's fun.
Oh, yes. Remember last year's party when Dr. Yancey was trying to pin the tail on the donkey and he jabbed the pin in one of the guests?
Yeah, that was me. That's when I was bobbing for apples, Mother.
Oh. I suppose Theodora thinks a barn dance is quite a novelty.
Well, I haven't told her yet. I thought I'd surprise her.
Oh, Harold, don't you think you should tell her? She might expect something fancier. You know, she's from Kansas City.
Yeah. No, she'll love it, Mother.
Well, I think
I told Doc and Pete I'd help them decorate the barn this morning. I better get over there.
But you ought to drop by Theodora's and let her know what she's supposed to wear tonight.
Wear? Oh, I'll see you later, Mother. I'll tell her to wear a gingham dress. She'll look like Daisy May. And I'll be your little Abner.
Shall I pass the Kickapoo joy juice, son?
What? Mother! Oh, brother, see you later. Doc and Pete should be out here in the barn. Hello, Doc, old friend.
Oh, hello, Harold.
Where's Pete?
Oh, he's downtown getting the bunting.
The bunting? Oh, say, the barn's starting to look fine, Doc. You must have done a lot of work this morning.
Oh, not so much. All I did was tack up the streamers, make the sign.
Okay, Doc.
Mix the potato salad by the cider.
Yeah, that's great.
Slice the hot dog rolls, tune the musical chairs.
Yes. Well, I bet we're going to have a lot of fun tonight. And Theodora's just going to love it. Apple bobbing, square dancing, sack racing. Just think, maybe the two of us will be in the same sack.
I didn't know you cared, Harold.
Not you, Doc, Theodora.
Oh!
Well, happy 1951, boy.
Well, hello, Pete, old pal. Did you bring the bunting?
Bunting? Oh, Shaw, I knew I forgot something.
Oh, Pete!
Well, I've been busy, boy. Don't forget, I'm chairman of the door prize committee.
Did you get some good prizes, Pete?
I sure did. I got the Elks to donate the grand prize.
Oh?
A free, all-expense-paid 90-day vacation to Charleville.
Yeah. A 90-day vacation? Won't that cost them a lot of money?
No, it's just a round-trip bus ticket. You can return any time within 90 days.
Very funny, Pete. We've got to get this barn decorated. Why don't you run down now and get that bunting?
Huh? All right. Oh, Harold, before I go, maybe you'd like to hear Doc and me rehearse.
Rehearse?
Oh, I forgot to tell you, Harold. Pete and I are going to perform a little New Year's pageant at the party tonight.
A pageant?
Yes. I'm going to be Father Time, and Pete'll be the Baby New Year.
Oh, my goodness, Baby New Year.
Yeah. I come out dressed in a ribbon.
Look, fellas, how about decorating the barn?
At the stroke of midnight, I come out as Father Time. It's a real character part.
Uh-huh.
And I say, well, another 365 days have gone by. That makes another year.
No kidding.
So ring out the old and ring in the new. Ring in the new. Okay, Pete.
Oh.
Ah! Oh, what was that? Aha! Tis Baby New Year.
Sounds like the noon whistle at the mattress factory. Fellas, how about...
Greetings, everyone. I am Baby New Year.
Ooh.
I was just born. Goo, goo, goo.
Goodbye. I'll see you fellas later. Pete.
I am Baby New Year.
Horrible actors, but nice fellas, though. Yeah, we're going to have a swell time tonight.
Station KHJP. Just a moment, I'll connect you.
Oh, good morning, Glory.
Oh, good morning, Harold.
Is our dear boss Stanley Peabody in?
Yes, he is.
Thought maybe I'd ask him to our barn dance tonight. He's an old prissy pants, but what the heck. It's New Year's.
Because Raymond and I are going to a party tonight at my girlfriend's.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, she goes with a fellow in the Navy. He's a chief petting officer.
Yeah. Lori, you got that wrong. He's not a petting officer.
Well, according to my girlfriend, he is.
Oh, my goodness.
And Harold, if you want to, you can use that joke on your radio program. There's no charge.
There's no joke either. See you later, Gloria. Everybody's a comic around here. See if Stanley wants to go to the party.
Come in.
Oh, hello, Hemp.
Well, Happy New Year, Stanley, old friend.
Thank you. Hempy New Year to you.
Yeah.
Get it? Hey, why don't we have a drink to that?
A drink? Well,
yes, let me pour you a glass of yogurt.
No, thanks, Stanley. I'll skip this round. Stanley, we're having our big New Year's party in Doc Yancey's barn tonight. Thought you might like to join us.
In Doc Yancey's barn?
Yeah.
Thank you, Hemp, but I've already made my plans for tonight.
Oh?
I'm going to the formal dance at the Antler Hotel in the Moose Room.
Yeah.
Everyone will be wearing tails.
In the Moose Room, I guess I...
Yes, it'll be quite swanky.
Yeah?
I'm taking Miss Abigail Turner. She's one of the Turners, you know.
Mm.
Her family came here over 100 years ago.
Yeah, she looks it. Well, sorry you can't make it, Stanley. I know Theodora and I'll have a wonderful time.
You mean Theodora consented to go to this barn dance?
Well, I haven't told her yet, but I know she'll love it.
Oh, Hemp, you fool, you.
Huh?
Theodora's a sophisticated girl. To her, New Year's Eve means formal dress, dinner, imported champagne.
Well, our cider's imported from Charleville.
Taking Theodora to that hayseed affair.
What?
How can you be such a hick?
I hate him.
Cider imported from Charleville. You kill me.
I better get out of here before I take him up on that. Old Peabody can't scare me. I bet Theodore will love that barn dance. What if it is corny? I'm a little corny myself. That's the kind of a girl I want. One I can settle down with and raise little corn muffins. She's from a big town, though. Kansas City. They have storm drains there. Well, I'll kind of fish around and find out. Hope she's in.
Who is it?
It's Harold.
Have a chair. I'll be right there.
What am I worried about? She's corny, all right.
Hello, Curly Lashes.
Curly Lashes. Hello, Theo.
Oh, I bet you came over to tell me where you're taking me tonight.
Well, you see...
Come on out. Tell Theodora.
Theodora, how about playing a little game first?
We played Spin the Bottle the last time you were here.
That's when I brought the loaded bottle. So this is a word game and called Association, Theodora. You find out what the other person is thinking.
Oh.
I mention a word to you and you say whatever it makes you think of. Are you ready?
Well, all righty.
Good. New Year's Eve.
Pheasant under glass.
Oop. You're having hot dogs under relish. Let's try it again, huh? New Year's Eve.
Champagne in a bucket.
We're having 7-Up in a tub. Try it once more. New Year's Eve.
Swanky supper club.
Oop.
White tie and tails.
Zeef. Maybe I can trap her. Barn dance.
Tennessee Ernie.
Zoink.
Now, Harold, tell me, where are you taking me tonight?
Antler Hotel, Moose Room. I'll be the third moose from the right.
We'll return for the second act of our story, Honest Harold, in just a moment. Have you seen who's joining Bing Crosby on a show tonight? It's Dinah Shore, Louis Armstrong, and Jack Teagarden. That's just a little later this evening over most of these same CBS stations. The Bing Crosby Show. And now, back to Honest Harold, the Homemaker. Well, it looks as though Honest Harold's Happy New Year isn't going to be so happy. For the first time, he isn't going to see the new year in with his old friends. Instead, he has talked himself into stepping out at the Antler Hotel to make an impression on the lovely Theodora. It's afternoon now, and we find Harold dejectedly returning home.
How am I going to tell Doc and Pete I'm not coming to the barn dance tonight? Fine friend I turned out to be. I'm a cad. Deserting him on New Year's Eve, running around in moose tails.
Is that you, Harold?
I don't know, Mother.
Well, did you see Theodora?
Yeah, I did.
Is she happy about where you're taking her tonight?
Oh, yeah, she's very happy.
Oh, you two will have a wonderful time. And maybe Theodora will pin the tail on the donkey.
She did.
Oh, Harold, you just got a phone call from Dr. Yancey.
From Doc?
Yes, he thought your feelings might be hurt because you're not in the pageant tonight. Wasn't that sweet of him? I can just see the three of you at your New Year's party tonight, your arms around each other singing, "Should old acquaintance be forgot,
Mother,
and never brought to mind."
Mother, please, you're flat.
"Should old acquaintance be forgot."
Oh, Mother! Guess I better drop in and tell Pete I can't come tonight. Might as well get it over with. He'll understand, I think. Hello, Pete.
Howdy, boy.
Harold,
if you want to take my part in the pageant tonight, it's okie dokie with me, old friend. Here's my ribbon.
Oop. Well, thanks, Pete. But
you'd make an awful cute baby New Year. It's an easy part to learn, boy. Four lines and three goos.
Well, that's nice of you, Goo, Pete. But you see, I can't come tonight. I'm going to the formal dance at the Antler Hotel.
What? Oh, sure. You're going to the Antler Hotel, and I'm Margaret Truman.
Margaret, Pete, I...
Like to hear me sing a cadenzi, boy?
Pete, you don't understand.
You're going to the Antler Hotel tonight. Ain't that a doozy?
Pete, this is no doozy. I'm really going there tonight. I'm taking Theodora.
Oh.
Pete, I'm really awfully sorry. I just couldn't help it.
Sure, boy.
You know I really want to be with you, Foz.
Sure, boy. Harold, it's a good thing I ain't Margaret Truman. I'd tell my father on you.
Yeah, I guess Doc's in the barn here. Certainly hate to tell him about tonight. Well, I gotta do it. Oh, there he is. Oh, my goodness, he's got his pet goat with him. Wonder if Pete's told him I'm not coming. Hello, Doc.
Good afternoon, Mr. Hemp.
Oop, Pete told him, all right. Doc, I'd like to explain.
How does this bunting look up here?
Looks swell, Doc.
I was speaking to Arthur, my goat.
Oh, excuse me.
Arthur, what would you think of a man who deserted his old friends on New Year's Eve? Yeah, you sure bleated a bib full, Arthur.
Doc, will you listen to me?
If you don't mind, I'm very busy right now. Arthur, do you like the way I've hung the bunting? Well, that's very sweet of you, thank you.
Doc, I want to come.
Arthur, I bet you wouldn't desert your fellow goats and try to horn into high society.
Horn in? Now, wait a minute.
No, sir, you wouldn't be off somewhere dining on caviar. You'd be right here with your old friends munching tin cans.
Doc, I'd munch tin cans. I mean, I'd like to be here with you fellas tonight. You know that, don't you? Doc, old friend, don't you believe me? Say something. Not you, Arthur.
That was me, Harold.
And that was me. Goodbye.
Are you having a good time, Harold?
Oh, sure. Moose Room is very nice. Wonder what the fellows are doing at the barn dance.
You waltz beautifully.
Yeah, thank you, Theodora. It's a good thing. Guess it's all that orchestra knows. They played 3 o'clock in the morning 3 times. It's only 9:15. What a finish. Well, should we go back to our table?
All right.
Yeah,
Thank you.
Sort of a quiet crowd for New Year's Eve, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Look at that fellow in the corner there with a big chin. He hasn't moved for an hour.
Harold, that's a stuffed moose.
I thought he was sitting kind of high.
Harold, are you sure you're having a good time?
Good time? Oh, sure. I'm having... Ooh, my goodness.
What's the matter?
Stanley Peabody coming with his girl. I don't want to get stuck with Prissy Pants. I'll duck down so he won't see me.
Oh, Harold.
Oh, hello, Theodora. Hemp, oop. What are you doing under the table?
Under the table? I was looking for the thing.
Oh, how amusing!
It's like Stanley brought the thing with him.
May I present Miss Abigail Turner, Miss Theodora, and Mr. Harold Hemp.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Oh, I have a wonderful idea. Why don't Abigail and I sit at your table?
Well, let me...
Yes, you sit here. Abby Dabby.
Abby Dabby sounds like a candy bar.
Thank you.
And I'll sit here. Just think, the four of us will spend the whole evening together.
Yeah, I am thinking.
Well, shall we get into the festive mood? I think I'll blow my horn. Whoopee! Come on, Theodora. Hemp, laugh and be gay.
Oh, brother.
Are you feeling merry, Abigail?
Oh, yes, I feel so New Year's easy. I feel like singing that new popular song.
Oh?
Oh, the music goes round and round. Oh, how, 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 how.
Oh. You know, Abigail is a debutante. Came out in 39.
Yeah, probably hasn't been out since.
Harold.
What is it?
Don't look so glum. Say something to our guest.
Oh, yeah. Having a good time, Abigail? I said, are you having a good time, Abigail?
The music goes round and round. Oh, how, 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 how,
how, how. Whoopee! Oh, I feel so exhilarated. Abby.
Yes, Stanley.
Why don't you tell that uproarious riddle? Oh, Hemp, this will send you right out of the room.
Yeah, I hope so.
Go on, Abby Dabby.
Well, I asked the question, how do you get down from an elephant?
I don't know, Abigail. How do you get down from an elephant?
You don't get down from an elephant. You get down from a duck. The music goes round and round.
Stanley, not in my face.
Oh, 3 o'clock in the morning. I love that piece.
Yeah, the orchestra must love it, too. Well, Theodora, should we dance?
Hemp, suppose I have this dance with Theodora and you and Abigail can get better acquainted.
But...
Come on, Theodora.
Well, all right.
But...
Excuse us, please. Theodora, do you like to twirl?
Oh, Mr. Hemp, isn't it fun?
Yeah, the music goes round and round.
Well, it's almost midnight. Shall we unfold our paper hats?
I ate mine. It was better than the chicken. Did you say it was almost midnight?
Almost.
Wonder what the fellas are doing at the barn dance.
Oh, the orchestra is getting ready to play, Stan.
Oh, good.
Oh, goodness.
Abigail. Shall we dance this one?
Oh, I'd love to.
Excuse us, please.
Oh, certainly.
Harold.
Yes, Theodora?
You don't seem very happy tonight.
Happy? Oh, sure, I'm very happy. Music goes round and round.
Oh, Harold, will you excuse me for a moment? I want to speak to a friend over there.
Of course. Go right ahead, Theodora.
I'll be right back.
Gee, what a clam bake. What a way to spend New Year's Eve. With Stanley Peabody instead of my old friends. Should have told Theodora about the barn dance. Let's face it, honest Harold, you're a weakling. Well, they do know another song. Why does it have to be that one? G-Y-M-N-O-W.
what I'd give the world to see that old gang of mine. I can't forget that old quartet that sang Sweet Adeline. Goodbye forever, old fellows and gals. Goodbye forever, old sweethearts and pals. God bless 'em. Gee, but I'd give the world to see that old gang of mine.
Yeah, that's where I ought to be, with my old gang, with Pete and Doc and Arthur the goat. And that's where I'm going, right now.
Why, Harold, what's the matter?
Theodora, I'm sorry, but I'm going.
Going where?
To the barn dance. Should have gone there in the first place. But I knew you wouldn't want to go to a corny party like that.
Oh, Harold, why didn't you ask me?
Huh?
I wondered why you wanted to come here instead of spending New Year's with your friends.
You did?
And I'd love to go to your barn dance.
You would? Well.
Oh, Hemp.
Oh, Stanley.
Whoopee! New Year's comes but once a year.
You said it, and we're not going to spend it here. Come on, Theodora. Yeah. Hope we're in time, Theodora. Must be almost 12 o'clock.
Yes.
Here's the barn. Sounds kind of quiet in there. Oh, they're doing the pageant. Come on.
Ah, what was that? Tis Baby New Year.
Good old Doc.
Tis Baby New Year. Pete.
Oh, yeah.
Look at Pete in that ribbon.
Isn't that cute?
I am Baby New Year. Go, go, kill!
No, you get pulled in that costume.
I was, yeah.
Hi, Harold.
Hi, Pete, old friend.
My hair.
Hello, Doc.
Oh, I'm glad to see you. Why, it wouldn't have been New Year's without you, would it, Pete?
It sure wouldn't, boy.
Thanks, I really missed you fellas. Say.
Oh, 12 o'clock, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Harold.
Happy New Year, boy.
Happy New Year, fellas. Happy New Year, Theodora. Mm-hmm. Oop. Happy New Year to you, Arthur, but I'm not going to kiss you.
Well, it's time for Auld Lang Syne.
Okay, come on, fellas. You take the tenor part, Arthur.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and never?
I know that all of you listening in tonight are anxious to hear about our Operation Santa Claus venture to Travis Air Force Base and what happened to the thousands of gifts you sent in. I have a wire from Colonel Kelly, commanding officer, that I'd like to read to you. Quote, "Your recent gratifying personal appearance at Travis Air Force Base will long be remembered by all who saw you. Your bright laughter and good cheer to the men who needed it most, wounded Korean veterans in the base hospital, and combat-ready servicemen bound overseas. Your huge store of gaily wrapped gifts, which you personally distributed to the war wounded and the outbound troops, was especially appreciated and will not soon be forgotten. As commanding officer, I wish to take this opportunity of expressing through you my heartfelt gratitude to all the kindly people, your radio listeners, who made those thousands of gifts possible. Again, thanks to you and your troop, Harold Perry, for an appearance that brought the true spirit of Christmas to Travis Air Force Base. Joe W. Kelly, Colonel, United States Air Force, commanding." Unquote. I wish it were possible to thank all you personally for your gifts to the boys. Being able to make them a bit happier on Christmas was the most wonderful experience of my life. Thanks again from the bottom of my heart, and a Happy New Year to you all.
You have just heard the Harold Perry Show, Honest Harold. The supporting players tonight included Mari Alden, Jane Morgan, Parley Bear, Olin Soule, and Mary Jane Croft, and featured Gloria Holliday as Gloria and Joseph Kearns as Old Doc Yak Yak. Norman MacDonald directed, and the music was composed and conducted by Jack Meekin.
Pretty too, wasn't it?
Honest Harold, created by Harold Perry, was written by Gene Stone, Jack Robinson, and Dick Powell.
Good writers.
Yes, and remember, the Rose Bowl game between Michigan and California will be broadcast next Monday, New Year's Day, exclusively over most of these same CBS stations. Stay tuned now for the Bing Crosby Show, which follows immediately on most of these same CBS stations. This is Roy Rowan speaking. This is CBS, where you thrill to suspense on Thursday night, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's all we have time for this week. We'll be back next week with some great old-time radio for you to listen to and start your year off right. Until then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.